Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
Well, I want to invite you to take your Bibles and go with me to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40, as we look at this last Sunday of the new year, I want to kind of focus in on what God desires for you in 2024. And you go, well, Pastor, how do you know what God desires for me in 2024? It's real simple. God's Word tells us. And God's Word is clear, and God's Word is true. And so what He has for you, what He has for me is real simple. Now, there may be some things outside that we add to it, but it is true what God wants us to do. So show of hands, how many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution? Would you show your hand? All right, how many have succeeded with that New Year's resolution? Okay, a few of you have, you know. I'm typically not the person who makes a New Year's resolution, although I was doing some research this week and found one I liked. One said I'm going to become a professional napper and nap at different times throughout the day. I thought that was a great idea to become a professional napper. My wife said no. But you know, there are things that for New Year's resolutions, they all kind of fall into some categories. Here are the categories. I'll show them to you on the screen. The first one is health and fitness. Maybe your New Year's resolution this year or in the coming or in the past has been something to be healthier and be fit. Those things, you know, we have a body that is round, and we want it not to be so round anymore. You know, those are things. Number two is it's personal development. Those things are things like, this year I'm going to start reading more, or doing a crossword puzzle, or I'm going to do something that betters me, whether it's professionally or personally. I'm just going to try to enhance this. Maybe that's you. Or third one is financial goal. Hey, this year I want to pay off something. I want to save something. I want to have something. You know, money seems to be a goal that people make at New Year's resolutions. Number four, mental health. We jumped two there. Work and life is the next one, the balance, work-life balance. That's the one that we decide that, hey, we've got to figure out how to be at home and not at work and those types of things. And then mental health is when we decide that the stress in our life is just a lot. And so we need to find ways to help that stress. Some of that stress is our own doing, because we worry, because we overthink things, we overanalyze things, and so maybe your resolution has to do with something about mental health and how you're going to take a deep breath and breathe more before you respond. Those are the categories that New Year's resolutions all fall into. And New Year's is one of those times where people like to make New Year's resolutions because it's a fresh start, it's a new beginning. It's one of those things that, okay, we got 12 months before this happens again. Let's start over and let's try again. Well, this morning I want to look at Psalms chapter 40. And in Psalms chapter 40, it comes to this moment in which David has had a difficult moment. He's been in what he calls the miry muck. Maybe that's been you in 2023, that man, it just seems like one problem after another. It seems like it's been one sickness, one illness. It's been one devastation after another. Maybe heartache after another. And you're just looking for a new, fresh start in 2024. Well, David, who's a man after God's own heart, who writes a lot of the Psalms, not all of them, but he writes many of them from his heart. And in Psalms 40, as we'll read in just a moment, you're going to see where David just has this confession that he needs God more than anything else. he comes to this place where he's been in this difficult place. Now, we don't know what that difficult place is, and it's probably good that we don't, because we can put ourselves in those difficult places, because we've been there. We've had those moments where we've just sat and cried and wondered, what do we do? But you got to remember, the thing about David is he's a man after whose heart? God's own heart. And if David, a man after God's own heart, who was anointed by God, appointed by God, and was led by God, if he had moments in which he was in the miry muck and needed to cry out to God, doesn't that remind you that we all are in that shape? That if anybody should have been perfect and not have that problem, it should be a man after God's own heart. And yet he was there. So if we too get there, we're in good company. And so this morning, here's the big idea I want you to catch. It's real simple. It's this. As believers, God has expectations for us as we live out our days on this side of eternity. God's got expectations for us. And so how do I know what God wants for you in 2024? God gives those expectations through his word. And in Psalms chapter 40, there are six things in this that I want to point out that I promise you God desires for you in 2024. So let's read. So if you have your Bibles, would you stand with me as we open God's word? David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from the desolate pit, out of the muddy clay, and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who puts his trust in the Lord, who is not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord my God, you have done many things, your wondrous works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. You do not delight in sacrifices and offerings. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for the whole burnt offering or the sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. In the scroll it is written about me. I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction is deep within me. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed, as you know, Lord. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. Your constant love and truth will always guard me. For troubles without number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me. I am unable to see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my courage leaves me. Lord, please, be pleased to rescue me. Hurry to help me, Lord. Let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and confounded. Let those who wish me harm be turned back and humiliated. Let those who say, aha, be appalled because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. I am oppressed and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my helper, my deliverer, my God. Do not delay. Let's pray. Father, that is our prayer today. For whatever we face in this day and the days ahead in 2024, that you be our God, our helper, our deliverer, and may we be faithful to be obedient and to wait patiently for you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So David gives us some things here. I think there are six things I want to point out from David's words. And these six things, I've put them in personal pronouns for you to look at and think, I will do this. I will. And I hope this will be your prayer for 2024 as we move forward as a church, as you look forward to this new year and what God's going to do. So let me give you these six as you'll see them there. They come right out of the scriptures. You'll see there in verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. First thing I want you to see was David had confidence. And so the point I want you to make is, I will have confidence in God. Confidence. Notice David has confidence in only God. It is confidence to know that God is in control. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Sometimes patience is a hard thing for us. It is for me, right? You know, I've said this before. I can't even let the microwave go to zero. You know, it gets down to 10. I'm like, that's close enough. You know, whatever it is, that's close enough. Let's just get it and go. Patience. Do you realize God doesn't work on your time, but His timing? His timing is always perfect. Our timing is not always perfect. David says in these verses, He heard me. He heard my cry, and He answered. David was confident in God. How confident are you in God? Well, think about that for a moment. 2023, you face different challenges personally. How confident were you that God was going to work in the midst of that? I know for our family, while I acknowledge God's confidence, wasn't always comfortable in God's timing. But I was confident God always is in control. And sometimes we have to do that. God has a way of working in His timing. I've told you before, when Lazarus was dying, his sister sent word to Jesus, hey, come. Your friend Lazarus is dying, and Jesus told the disciples, let's stay a few days longer before we go. I never find comfort in those verses because Jesus knew his friend was dying, and Jesus said, we need to wait a few more days till he's good and dead. But God and his timing. Because Jesus shows up and says, I'm glad I wasn't here. Because now you're going to see something truly amazing. Lazarus, come forth. God is almighty. God is powerful. God's word is true. The question is, do you have confidence in God? The second thing we see in this text is, I will live with godly convictions. Convictions. He says there in verses 4 and following, how happy is everyone who puts their trust in the Lord. And you said, well, Pastor, you just talked about confidence. Now you're talking about convictions. They're the same thing. No, they're really not. Convictions are much different than confidence. Think about it. Heard this story of this narrow bridge above this very large canyon. It was deep below. On one side of the bridge was a person called confidence. On the other side of the bridge was a person called trust. You walk up to the bridge and this rickety rope bridge. Confidence would holler out, hey, I'm confident the bridge will hold you. I'm confident that it is good. I've read the reports. I've seen the engineering drawings. I'm confident you can walk across the bridge. Trust, on the other hand, says, trust me, I know you can walk across the bridge because I've walked across the bridge. I know it can hold you because it's held me. I know that you will be able to go across safely because I have traveled it many times. The difference between confidence and convictions or trust, confidence just knows it by intellect. Convictions and trust know it because we've been there. The question, do we live with godly convictions? Look what David says. He brings out two there. He talks about the work that God had done. How happy is those who've put his trust in the Lord, who've not turned to the proud. And then verse 5, Lord my God, you have done many things. How did David know he'd done many things? He put his faith and trust in God. Oh, there were moments in David's walk that he could have done a lot of things. He could have killed Saul on multiple occasions, but he trusted in God. He walked across that bridge to know that what that was like. When you live with convictions, you live with an understanding that God is in control. Why? Because you've allowed God to have control. You've walked through those valleys. And you can say with confidence, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. 2024, I know without a doubt, God wants you to have confidence in him, but he wants you to also live with godly convictions. Live with an understanding that he has carried you and will carry you, to put your faith and trust in him and him alone. Not to turn and look to others, not to trust others, but to trust only him. There are always somebody trying to get us to go another direction, but God is always faithful and will lead us. The question is, what's your convictions? Sunday school, I'll remind you again, if you're not in Sunday school, you should be. This morning, our Sunday school lesson was from Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. What's the difference between Cain and Abel? One had confidence that there is a God, the other had convictions. One had a heart who trusted God and gave his offering as first of fruits. The other, hey, there is a God. How do you live your life? Do you live it with conviction? Or is it just something that, hey, it happens? Third thing we see from this text is that I will walk in holiness. I will walk in holiness. But we get to verses 6 through 8, and it gets a little muddy here as to what David is trying to say. He wants us to understand what holiness looks like. But when we begin to unpack these words and we begin to realize God desires our hearts, not our actions as much. Now, he wants your actions, but he wants them to come with a heart. If you only give your actions, he doesn't really care, because you didn't do it with your heart. In fact, look at these verses on the screen. I've put them in the New Living Translation. It says this, you take no delight in sacrifices or offering. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand you. Don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come, as it is written about me in the scriptures. I take joy in doing your will, my God. Your instructions are written on my heart. Holiness is that moment when we walk before God, understanding and recognizing what he wants. He wants a pure heart. He wants a heart that longs for Him. Not a heart that is just happy to be here, but a heart that longs to Him. And let me just say this. If you want God to bless you in 2024, I can tell you, you're going to have to walk in holiness. Because God's not going to bless you just because you show up at church. That's like expecting a sports team to be blessed because they walked on a field and won. That ain't going to happen. You got to walk in holiness. You got to be obedient to God's word. You've got to be willing to go and do as He calls us to do. You've got to have not only confidence, but conviction that God knows the way. And you got to walk in holiness. So many times we live in a world who just says, hey, I showed up. We live in a world where every child's a winner. Whatever sport they play, they all get a trophy. There's no losers. I mean, when I grew up, yeah, if you didn't win, you lost. You know? If you didn't win, you still didn't get a trophy. Now everybody gets a trophy. Now you go to a kid's birthday party and everybody gets a present. What the heck? Mom and Dad, why didn't you do that for me? I had two siblings. So I could have racked up every time. That's just showing up and expecting somebody to treat you and be good to you. God's word says, walk in obedience. Walk before me. Trust me in the path that you're to walk. Go where I call you to go. Do as I tell you to do, and I will bless you. When you walk in holiness, God's going to bless you. The reason David's a man after God's own heart, he continues to walk after the path that God has for him. Yes, he makes mistakes. Yes, he's a sinner. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But praise be to God for grace. Amen? Amen? And so we find grace. And so in 2024, I know God wants you to have confidence in Him that He's going to work. I know that He wants you to have godly convictions because He is true. I know He wants you to walk in holiness. Number four, I will testify with courage. I will testify with courage. In the midst of this psalm, David is struggling. He's been in this miry muck. He's calling for God to rescue him. He's calling for God to help him. All these people are coming around him, are trying to take him. He's calling on to God, but in the midst of this, he looks in verse 9 and 10, and he says, I will proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not keep my mouth closed. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. What does David do? He proclaims. He makes much of Jesus. He makes much of what God is doing. He makes much of God's faithfulness. In 2024, let me ask you, will you make much of God's faithfulness? Will you tell somebody about Jesus? Now think about this for a moment. You think in your mind how long you've been a Christian. Some of you have been a Christian a long time. You've confessed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've walked the path with Him for many years. So the question I have for you is, how many people have you ever told about Jesus? How many people have you ever sat down and said, let me tell you about my Savior? Now listen, I'm not asking you how many people have you invited to church. There's a difference between inviting somebody to church and inviting somebody to Jesus. Church won't save them. Church will just mess them up. It's Jesus that'll save them. How many people have you ever told about Jesus? And I get it. You may find this surprising. I get it. Hey, listen, you think, oh, Pastor, you just share Jesus. Oh, you could go out and talk to that tree. Well, I might be able to talk to that tree. But when it comes to sharing Jesus, I'm just like anybody else. I took a seminary course in evangelism years ago, and one of our requirements was we had to share the gospel with somebody every week. That was a part of your grade. You had to come in and write about the experience of sharing the gospel. Well, that certainly gave me an eye-opening experience to sharing the gospel, because that means every week I've got to be thinking, who needs Jesus? And for me to go up and knock on a door on a cold call to say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? That's just not who I am. But let me tell you, that doesn't stop me from sharing Jesus. Thursday, we had the movers were scheduled, and they moved us from the parsonage to our new house. And there were four of them. And so one of them, the guy who's in charge, kind of struck up a conversation. I was just kind of getting to know them a little bit. We knew somebody in common. One of them had a Christian hat on, and so it wasn't hard, because they were like, so where do you pastor? I mean, where did you think? I mean, it's right here. I mean, it's not that far. But when we got to the new house, two of them had been quiet. So when we got to the new house, I believe his name was Matt, and I began to, I had Matt, you know, I tell you the story years ago, about when I took kids snow skiing. The best time to share Jesus is when you're on the chairlift, because nobody can get away from you. It's either jump or... Uh-huh. Well, I had Matt, and he was helping me put the washer and dryer in, and I had him pinned behind the washer and the dryer. This is a great opportunity. You can't go anywhere. And so, it was just Matt and I in the room for a few minutes, and I began to talk to Matt. So, you know, how do you get into this? You know, where'd you... Well, I came from Lexington. How in the world did you get from Lexington to Owensboro for this job? Really? You know, how often do you move somebody here? Every day of the week? And so we began, and I've said, so do you go to church anywhere? Well, I got to be honest, I've had a messed up life. That's the reason I needed to get out of Lexington. He begins to share his part, you know, just enough to know that he's found himself in some difficult situations, nothing over the top. And he says, I go to church, and he named the church. He said, the guy who owns the company, I go where he goes. He's invited me. I know Jesus, but I'm not that faithful. And I just begin to say, hey, man, here's the thing. God's grace is sufficient. You've not walked through anything that God didn't save you from. And whatever you face tomorrow, God has it for you. Now, here's the thing. I didn't have the opportunity to share the gospel with him, because he is a believer. He's struggling, but he's a believer. And so I took some time with him and said, here's what I want to do. Hey, if you ever just want to get a cup of coffee and talk, if you ever just want to grab a bite to eat, or if you just ever need a person to talk to, you call. I got in the truck with the owner of the company. We were going over to our storage unit to get some stuff. And he was riding with me. And I told him, I said, hey, I had this conversation with Matt. He goes, oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, he's just like the rest of us. He just needs to understand God's grace is sufficient. See, here's the thing. When you testify, you just look for opportunities. I'm great about building a relationship with somebody and having that conversation. I may not be so great at walking up to the door and go, in your personal opinion, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? Now, there are some friends who I've got who can do that well. But that doesn't excuse me from the opportunity to make much of Jesus. In 2024, will you testify with courage? Pastor, I don't know what I'd say. You've got a story to tell. You came to know Christ. Oh, but nobody really wants to hear my story. Yes, they do. God's placed you in places so you can tell that story. The question is, will you tell that story? I know God desires you to testify with courage in 2024. Number five, we see in this text. We see David plead with compassion. The fifth thing is I will plead with God for his compassion. We notice there from verses 11 through 15 his plea, and he's asking for God to come and rescue him. Here's probably the thing I think most of us are comfortable with. We're comfortable with pleading to God for his compassion. God, have mercy on me. God, would you just help that the doctor's going to call and tell me it's okay? God, would you do this? God, would you oversee this? Would you take this or remove this or do this? I'm confident everybody in this room knows how to do that. But I want you to catch that David does plead for God's compassion. There's no question about that. Just like when Jesus teaches his disciples, he tells them and he teaches them, and give us this day our daily bread. There's no problem with doing that. But we miss everything else when that's the only thing and the only conversation we have with God. We almost treat God like Santa Claus rather than we treat him like the Savior who came to rescue us. And so I want you to understand, yes, David pleads, but there are lots of other things that he said. Please don't walk out of here with that's the only one. Because again, he wants you to have confidence in him. He wants you to live with godly conviction. He wants you to walk in holiness. He wants you to testify of his great love. And yes, plead with him for compassion. Number six is simply this. Celebrate. I will celebrate God's goodness. Celebrate. Sometimes I think the church ought to sing Cool in the Gang Celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on. I just think we miss that. We come in and we miss the celebration of what God does. But we need to celebrate. In verse 16 and 17, he says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. We need to shout that from the rooftop. We need to proclaim that God is mighty and good. We need to celebrate. You know, I realize that maybe you do too. When we get to heaven, some of us are going to be uncomfortable because there's going to be a party going on and we've not practiced. And the truth of the matter is God's given us this opportunity to practice and we're messing it up. We need to practice and celebrate. We need to celebrate his goodness. We need to proclaim that. We need to tell it wherever we go. So in 2024, here's what I know God wants for us. Beyond a question, he desires you to know, to have confidence in him. He wants you to live with godly conviction. He wants you to walk in holiness. He desires you to testify of his greatness. He wants you to plead with him for compassion. But he wants you to celebrate. Beyond question, that's what God wants from us. The question is, how well will we do that? How successful will we be when we do that? New Year's resolutions, people make them all the time. How many, don't show your hand. You can point to the person if you know they've already done it. But how many have already made this year's New Year's resolution? Here's the truth. Research tells us that New Year's resolutions are worldwide, not just in America. And it varies based on the country, the time of year, that kind of thing. But about 40 to 50% of people make New Year's resolutions. But research also shows us that 85% of all New Year's resolutions are broken by second week of February. They don't last. And the reason they tell us is Research has showed that sometimes New Year's resolutions aren't specific enough. Well, I'm going to be happy in 2024. They also tell us that there's no accountability with New Year's resolutions. Or maybe that there's no desire to keep New Year's resolutions. Here's what I want you to know. I'm not asking you to make these six things your New Year's resolution. I really couldn't care less if you make a New Year's resolution. But what I want you to know is these six things are what God desires for you. And what's our motivation? God Almighty. God loved us so much, He sent His one and only Son to die on a cross so that we could have life everlasting. And this is what He desires for us in exchange for salvation. So there's our motivation. Maybe you need somebody to keep you accountable. Maybe you look at these six things and go, you know, I can plead with God pretty good, but, you know, I don't celebrate with God very much. Maybe you need to ask somebody, would you help me to always celebrate when I see things of God? Maybe you need to ask somebody, listen, my New Testament, my evangelism class, man, there wasn't no working around it. You walked in every week and you wrote down. There was an accountability. This is who I shared Jesus with. There are things we do and things we've done in the past that have been good and have been taken and messed up. But there was a period in history when Sunday school, when you went around and you check mark, I've invited somebody to church, or I did this, and it became it started off as an honest accountability and then turned into look at me kind of thing. But maybe you need accountability. 2024, God desires for you to have a great year. He desires me to have a great year. He desires Panther Creek to experience revival. The only way that happens is if we turn our eyes on Him and focus on Him. This morning, you can't do any of that if you don't know Christ. Today, I invite you to come to know Christ. Maybe today you join our church family and say, I'm ready to be a part of what God's doing here. Maybe there's another decision on your heart. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and say, God, I need a new 2024. Whatever the case, you come.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org. Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.